Charlie, you take it away and tell everybody what you want them to know.
All right. Well, you know, Sam, since you invited me to be on your radio station every week now, our listenership has just continued to increase. It seems like we've seen a steady increase every week. And we've even gotten to the point where the archives on our website are getting hundreds and hundreds of downloads every week now. And so I had wanted to have some type of conference for a while, and then it just seemed like we've had so much interest in the messages and the ministry that we just decided to go ahead and plan something. Of course, I had to try to plan it, you know, based around all these events that I've got going on in my life right now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, since we kind of have a lull in the action there, we decided to go ahead and plan something for the spring. And so we're going to have a conference from March the 26th going through the 29th. And we're having it at a retreat center, but it's also a campground. And because and the reason that we wanted to do it there, Sam, was because I'm hoping that there's going to be a bunch of young people there. And so in between messages and when we have free time and things like that, I wanted there to be plenty of activities for the young people. So we found this retreat center down in Southwest Missouri. It's called Maranatha Bible Camp. Mm-hmm. It's in Everton, mm-hmm. Missouri, and the facilities are just fantastic, just really top-notch. So we're going to meet there. Ted's going to be one of the speakers. Of course, I'll be speaking. I tentatively have Everett Ramsey coming to, and he's going to be telling the story of what he went through back in Nebraska in the early 1980s. He was jailed for his ministry, spent about 8 months in jail out there for his ministry, and he's going to tell the story there. It's very enlightening, and even though it was in the 1980s, the things that he learned there are absolutely applicable for today. So he'll be there, and we're looking at adding some additional speakers as well. But we think it's going to be a fantastic time. Now, one of the things that we're going to be doing that I think is going to be a highlight of the weekend is on Saturday evening, Brent Winters, who he's been on your show. He is a federal attorney out of Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yeah.
And Brent's a great guy. I've known him for a while, and I really like Brent. But Brent is a federal attorney and is a constitutional attorney. And he has actually challenged Ted to a debate. And the topic is the U.S. Constitution a Christian document? And so this is going to be about a three-hour debate on Saturday evening, and I just think it is going to be absolutely fantastic, the information that we're going to learn from this debate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So absolutely.
That'll be what I think might be a highlight of the conference.
Yeah, and something I want to mention for those of you at the top of the hour, you know how it goes when you get a brain cramp. I was trying to think of his name, and the only thing I could think of, I could time to common lawyer, and you know how it goes when your brain goes goofy. And so anyway, his name is Brent Winters. We've interviewed him before. Probably need to have him back on a future show, so we'll be contacting him and doing a future broadcast with him. That'll be an interesting thing. And I know you even asked me at one point to speak over there myself, and so I'll try to put something together for that as well. But the other thing I want to mention to you, Charlie, is that one of the things I have planned to do during this conference is to bring equipment so that we can record down there, because I'm sure there'll be people that'll want to have those things to review. And so I'm going to bring some recording equipment down there, and we will try to get recordings of at least as much as we can, at least highlights of the conference, at least anyway. But we'll see how it goes. But I know definitely I'm going to bring something down there.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Brent let me know last week that there is a company out of, I want to say South Dakota or something like that. I don't know. But they're interested in coming out and doing some video recording. And they intend to broadcast the debate live across YouTube, which I think would be pretty awesome as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. So, great. Yeah, I mean, this is stuff that needs to be documented, certainly electronically, because, you know, sometimes your chances of doing these things in the future don't always pan out. We'll definitely.
And, you know, in addition to the debate, which actually the debate, even though I think it's going to be a highlight of the event, it's still secondary to what we're trying to do, Sam. What we're trying to do with the conference is to actually get together, get our heads together, and see if we can figure out some real solutions to the challenges and problems that we're facing.
Yeah.
You know, there's been enough talk. You know, everybody knows there's a problem, Sam. You know, everybody knows there's something wrong, and there's lots of people that for whatever reason get enjoyment out of talking about it, and we want to take it a step further and not just talk, but let's see how we can institute some things out of the Word of God that will tell us how to get us out of the situation that we're in. So we're looking forward to the conference on that level as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, and see, that's the thing that kind of bothers me a lot of times in doing this kind of radio, too, because you kind of get the sense that there's a lot of people out there, they either don't know what to do or they're just armchair quarterbacks just sitting there listening to what you're saying, and then after it's done, they just go off and then nothing ever changes. And that I think that's, if you really want to know my honest opinion, I think that's part of the reason, obviously not with me, because I'm a totally independent individual, I'm not 501c3, I'm not any of that kind of stuff, but I think part of the reason we have these major networks doing talk radio about this kind of stuff certainly is there's just enough stuff out there to work as a steam valve so people can feel like they're venting, but yet nothing ever really changes.
Yeah, and I get that, and don't get me wrong in what I'm saying, there's absolutely a place for what you do there. People have got to be informed. There's no question about that. And, we live in a time where most people just go with the flow, do what they're told, never ask questions, and think that everything's fine as long as they have McDonald's and the NFL.
Yep.
And the reality is that's not what's going on around us today. And so, no, there's absolutely value in what you're doing there, Sam, and trying to wake people up.
Yeah.
And, so we need to do that. And then it comes time for, the real men of God, that know what the Bible says that we are to do in times like this. And it's time for the men of God to stand up and say, this is the way, thus saith the Lord, walk ye in it. And those are some things that we hope to get the ball rolling with the conference in March.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, as you know, you and I have spoken in the past when you've been here on my show talking about the role that the churches have played in this mess that we're in with this end time stuff. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that. And I know certainly I'll get into points about that myself while I'm there, because you and I were both going down the same roads at the same time and hadn't even talked to each other, but the point being is that we either spend more time trying to deal with the here and now instead of all this futurist stuff, or nothing is ever going to change. And In fact, I just heard on a show today, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear I'd talked to this guy before, and I hadn't talked to him a day in my life. He's with the Future Freedom Foundation. A guy by the name of Tom Woods that we carry was interviewing him. A guy by the name of Sheldon Richmond, and he's he was talking about this issue, about how the people who claim to be conservatives are trying to stir up the war machine and everything else, and in their view, trying to provoke a premature return of Christ. And so I'm not the only one saying that now. There are others that are starting to pick up on that. He wasn't condoning it, but he was saying that that was one of the things that that was problematic with the with some in the conservative movement, particularly in the religious conservative movement, is this fixation on trying to actually, in their mind, provoke the end of the world so that in their mind they can be taken out of here faster, which is a, which is an absolute fallacy from the get-go. And then when you add all this stuff into it, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Well, Sam, and the reality is they actually believe this.
I know.
They believe it.
Yeah.
And that's why they're doing what they're doing. You know, people, even people who, and I think, you know, as I listen to your show every week, you have a very educated audience. There's no question about that. But even among people that I believe are more educated and awake than others, they still don't understand that the whole controversy in the Middle East, the whole fight, the whole argument over there is the fact that the Jews claim that they have right to a certain piece of land where they want to rebuild the temple.
Yep.
And from their standpoint, all right, they claim that they have to do that in order to fulfill Bible prophecy. Then you've got all these churchmen here in America who are standing arm in arm with the Jew, saying the same thing, and that's why they're sustaining all the battles, all the fighting all, over that piece of land so that the Jews can rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And it's absolute insanity. It's got no biblical basis whatsoever, but these people actually believe this, and it is a cause for international concern and has been for many, many years.
Yep, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree with you more, and this is why somebody in the vast land of Christianity has to speak out and try to pull people back into reality. And so I'm excited about this to see how things are going to shape up, and maybe hopefully it's something that if it works out, hopefully more of these conferences can be put together in the future, maybe. I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things. This is the first time, certainly this is the first time that you've ever pulled this off. It's going to be an experience for you. It's going to be an experience for all of us. But in the end, hopefully it's something that we can repeat somewhere in the future, you know.
Well, we haven't even done our first one, and I'm having people ask me already when the second one is. they think that there should, yeah, they think that there should be one in the spring and one in the fall. And you know, look, I mean, I would love to do it. I would absolutely love to do it. So,
yeah, well, it'll be interesting.
But Sam,
go ahead.
You know, the reality is, going back to what you said just a minute ago, educating people. Everything that we're doing has to begin with education, because until you change people's minds about things, their actions are never going to change. And the reality is that futurism is education. It's indoctrination, but it's horribly, horribly misguided. And it is the root cause for everything that we are facing right now. Everything that we're facing right now is because of the religious lie of futurism. And until we tear that down, we're not going to get anywhere. And so anyway, I've said this in my messages, especially here lately, that I'm very encouraged You did, Sam, you wouldn't believe some of the emails I get. And I have had emails from people who, when they were listening early on in the messages, particularly when I started the Matthew 24 series, they were not very happy at what they were hearing. But the longer they listened, the more they looked at the scripture, the more they saw the evidence of what the Word of God really says. I am so encouraged at how those people's minds have been changed. So that's where it begins. We have to begin with changing people's minds, get them to understand how absolutely devastating the lie of futurism is in every aspect of life, whether political, spiritual, economic, you name it, whatever you want to fill in the blank with there, futurism, when it pervades that particular aspect of life, absolutely causes destruction.
Oh yeah,
and, we are going to tear it down. We are going to tear it down, and then begin to rebuild on the foundations of the scripture.
Well, you know, it's interesting too. I had a chance this week. During the afternoons we carry Kate Daly's broadcast, and I thought, you know, she decided to open up the phones and have people call in and talk about, people talking about some of their different beliefs and different things like that. And so I called in and I started giving her evidence as to why this futurism. And by the way, the Mormons are steeped in it. They're really steeped in it. I mean,
that's their whole name, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I started putting this stuff out, and boy, there was a caller right in after me that was saying that I was misleading people and all this kind of stuff. The bad part about these shows is that really shows like hers are not the proper place to do it, because the calls are so soundbited. You only, if you're lucky, you get 30 seconds to get in what you're trying to say, and that's hardly enough to really prove your point and explain yourself. But I got enough out there, hopefully, to whet people's appetites. And I mentioned, among other things, the role that C.I. Schofield has had in wrecking Christianity and, you know, around the world, and his connections with the Rhodes, you know, Cecil Rhodes and the Rhodes Scholar. And she goes, interesting. And not only did she hear what I was saying, she didn't comment a whole lot. At least she didn't accuse me of being wrong. I have to give her that. I mean, when you consider I was going against the entire idea of what they believe in. But not only did she hear it, but another talk show host who we carry in the morning by the name of Brian Hyde, who we carry during the 8 o'clock hour, he heard it. And so I keep reminding people, and I reminded some of the people I talked to later, you know, that I know that were listening at the time. I said, remember, we're planting seeds. And that's the thing we have to keep in mind. We're planting seeds. Sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time to plant seeds, but if you can just get enough information out there to plant a seed, then all you can do is hope that people will do the research from there. And the one main thing that I pointed out in the short time I had was Matthew 24. So I got it in on a radio network other than mine, and got it out on a major radio station in Utah.
That's fantastic. And Sam, it doesn't matter if you have 30 seconds or a minute. Saying something is better than saying nothing.
Yeah.
I can tell you something that happened. Boy, time flies so fast, Sam. I couldn't even remember. I'd have to do some research. But you remember Joan Vian?
Oh yeah.
Okay, Joan was a futurist, and I got my foot in the door in a conversation with Joan one day, and I began to share with her the Cecil Rhodes, Andrew Carnegie, C.I. Schofield connection. And in less than 6 months from that time period, Joan had my books on her website, had my video on her website, and was promoting Fulfilled Bible Prophecy.
Wow.
And was that way until the day she died. I continued to have a relationship with Joan, and she understood the deception of futurism. And it all started with just kind of a conversation like you had with Kate.
Yeah.
And I spent hours and hours and hours on the phone with Joan. But, you know, it basically started with just a few minutes on a talk show. I called in to a talk show that she was on, and I asked her if she knew anything about the connection between C.I. Schofield and Cecil Rhodes. Because if you remember, Joan was really into exposing the British Empire, Prince Charles and all that kind of stuff. So when I gave her the connection there, oh my goodness, it rocked her world. And it was really exciting to see that.
Well, see, and the thing I keep trying to get across to people, and something I wanted to say, you know, I couldn't get it in at the time, how can it make sense that Christ died on the cross, and he had the conversations that he had with the disciples, including the one that we've talked about many times in Matthew chapter 24, then all of a sudden we're supposed to believe there's this big blank in time in which absolutely no activity by Yahweh or by Yeshua happened at all. And then suddenly, bam, we're supposed to believe that 2,000 years later, everything's supposed to resume and pick up right where it left off. Doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense at all. And imagine that, but I'm going to be talking tomorrow in my message again because, you know, I said, futurism is our greatest enemy. And I, at every opportunity that I get to expose it, I do. And we're going to be talking about some things from Luke chapter 1. And talking exactly what you just said. There's absolutely nothing in the Gospels, nothing whatsoever, that leads us to believe that he was talking 2,000 years into the future. Absolutely nothing. And it is a convoluted, evolutionized creation of a religion that is not based anywhere, in any way, shape, or form, on the scriptures themselves.
Yep, and it's another one of those cases, Charlie, where I always tell people, one of the things you have to be careful about is wherever the masses go, you usually don't want to go. Because the masses will usually lead you over a cliff. And this is a perfect case in point.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about, in case we have new listeners, explain to the audience, when they hear the name Yahweh, if they're not used to hearing that name referring to the God of Scripture, because a lot of people, they'll use names like Jehovah, and they'll use various other names. But explain to people again, Charlie, from your own words, why the name Yahweh sticks out among above all the other ones.
Well, in the Hebrew text, that is what his name is called when you look at it in the Hebrew text. And if you would look at the, for instance, in the original 1611 King James Bible, they talk about rabbinical tradition was that the name of God or the name Yahweh was not to be spoken. And that isn't true at all. That's got no biblical support anywhere. And so when you look in the Old Testament and you see where the words the Lord, you'll typically see the and then L-O-R-D will be in all caps. And that is an indication that the name Yahweh was replaced with the Lord. And there are several of us out here that don't believe that they have the authority to do that. And whenever you see the Lord and then the Lord, L-O-R-D is in all caps, the translators actually said that they substituted those words in there for what was originally in the Hebrew as Yahweh. So that's why we do what we do. But I'm also not saying that, you know, if somebody says the Lord instead of Yahweh, that there's some great condemnation in that, because I don't believe that, because actually the word Lord means the one who is supreme in authority.
Right.
So so anyway, but that is that is why for instance Ted preaches the same way. When he sees the Lord with L-O-R-D in all caps, he'll put it back the way it originally was, where it was Yahweh was in there. And I do the same. I'm not nearly as stringent as, say, even Ted is, but I do understand what he's doing, why he's doing it, and I think it's a good idea that we do that. So
yeah, well, it does make sense because, I mean, he does have a name.
He does have a name.
Other than just the Lord, but yet the Lord is not invalid either because it does point out the authority that he has and that he is supreme over all. So both are valid. It's just that the idea that that the actual name should be the one that should be, you know, that his real name should be the one that should be pointed out.
Well, especially in light of the fact that the scriptures say in many occasions that he has exalted his name above all names.
Right.
And yet we're not supposed to know his name or say his name. That doesn't even make any sense.
No, not at all. Well, Charlie, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing about that. You know, in relation to those types of things, we need to be very cautious and very aware of the fact that for the most part, and sadly it is the truth, it has been the church and the churchmen who have been responsible, well, not responsible, but they're the ones who have provided for the English text of the scriptures, and they took all kinds of liberties in making substitutions and changing words and using words that they had absolutely no authority whatsoever to do so. And you know, and the reality is, Sam, is that some of those things they did because they had an agenda. And then when I've tried to explain this to people in the past, I've actually had people get upset about that. So, well, why would God allow them to do that? Well, you know, that's not for me to ask that type of question. I'm not going to necessarily give an answer to that type of question. But I will say this: it's our responsibility to search the scriptures, and the scripture says, as if we were mining for silver and gold. Now, if I told you, Sam, that in my backyard is about 10 acres, okay? If I told you, I said, now, Sam, I have buried a small box in my backyard, and the contents of that box is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And all you have to do, Sam, is to come to my backyard and find that box in that 10 acres of ground, and you can have it. Well, would you come the next day with a fork and a spoon in your hand trying to dig up the land and try? Absolutely not. You would do whatever it takes to move heaven and earth at whatever expense that you needed to find that hidden treasure out there.
But yeah.
Sadly, that's not how most people who even call themselves Christians view the Word of God. It's, we'll pick it up and just casually read it every now and then, and you know, if we don't understand something, it's like, well, you know, whatever, go on to the next thing. Then a week later, you know, pick up the book and maybe read a couple verses again. And I've even had people tell me, oh, I just don't understand it, so I don't read it. Well, you know, that's part of the problem. Because, you know, of course, we live in a society where we think that we're not supposed to work for anything, and everything is supposed to be just handed to us and given to us without, you know, any real work behind it. But that's not how it works. He rewards those who diligently seek him, is what the scriptures say. And so, you know, even though our English Bibles have been translated with some agendas that are actually in opposition to what the Word of God actually wants us to understand, we can still uncover that. We can uncover the agenda, and we can find the truth. But it takes a lot of hard work. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to get in it, and you got to be relentless about searching for the truth. And when you do that, understand that the scriptures say that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But it takes work. And he will reward. He absolutely will give answers when we diligently seek for those answers.
And something I want to mention, too, and we've talked about this before on this show, because there's nothing we don't get into here, including this discussion, as is evidenced by the fact that Charlie's here. But what I want to mention is that in this day and age, one of the things that you have to determine in your own mind is which way you're going to go. You're either going to follow Yahweh, or you're going to follow government, who wants to be God in the place of Yahweh. One of the things I've stated on this show many, many times, if you take the time to read through the Gospels, and I'm sure other places too, but the Gospels are the ones that come to mind right now, you will find that Christ was a liberator, because what was he liberating the people from back at that time? He was trying to get people to understand that they were in the very same mess. The names are different. You know, the players on the stage are different. But they were in the very same mess, similar like what we're in today. In other words, they had the Sadducees and the Pharisees who had all these legalistic things according to man, and here comes Christ who came along and liberated them from that, or tried to teach them and liberate them. What happened to him? They turned on him. That's how he eventually wound up on the cross. So here's my question, and that is, do you want to follow a government that can just make things up at a whim, and there's so many laws you don't even know which ones are which or what to follow or whatever? Or do you want to follow in the footsteps of Christ, who clearly is the same today as he was then, and nothing, in other words, there's more stability in following Christ than there is in following what we call governments today that man has made, and as well as religions today that man has made. Am I making sense, Charlie?
Oh, absolutely you're making sense, Sam. You know, the, for lack of a better word, the religion that Christ taught was freedom. And that true freedom comes from when we apply the laws that his Father had placed in the Word of God and obeying his commandments, which he said are not grievous, they're not burdensome. We, you know, I've often said, if you would take a child and if you could get them to understand this, if you could take the Bible, which, you know, even the biggest family Bible you could ever get your hands on probably isn't much more than, 2.5 inches thick. And you would lay that out on the table, and then you would take the laws of the United States, the laws of the individual states, and stack them up on the table next to it after you remove the roof, because they would go clear to the moon and back. And you would look at this child or whoever, and say, now, this is a guidebook of rules that you need to follow in your life. Now, which ones do you prefer? Well, would you want the ones that are barely 2 inches thick? Or do you want the ones that go to the moon and back?
Yeah.
And yet, the reality is, Sam, is that most people say, well, I want the ones that go to the moon and back. And then they're the same ones that sit back and complain about government and fuss about government, and government does this and government does that. And yet here Christ is saying, look, if you follow me, I've only got just a handful of things that I require from you. And I'm trying to give you freedom and deliverance from a system that has, you can't do this, you can't do that, do this, do that, pay this, pay that, clear to the moon and back. And yet men still prefer their system and their way of doing things, as opposed to the very, very simplistic amount of rules and laws that God says, if you do this, if you'll implement this, you will have the greatest amount of freedom that you could ever have. And Sam, that's all I'm trying to teach, and that's what you're trying to teach. It's you and I are in absolute agreement there. And
oh, yeah.
The problem is, Sam, the reason that we can't get most people to see this is because most people think that the church and the churchmen are the authority on what the Word of God says. And so they're the ones that are compelling men to obey the laws, rules, statutes, whatever, that go to the moon and back instead of obeying God. And the reality is those church and the churchmen, they are the religious arm of the quote-unquote government that's in control. They're not the mouthpiece of God. They're not the spokesman of God. They're not the deliverers of the message of God. They're the deliverers of the message of the governments of men that are put in place to continually enslave men and basically just turn them into totally compliant, never ask a question, never offer any resistance, and that's where we're at. And you lay that at the foot of the church and the churchmen, because they've done exactly what they were designed to do. And if you go back and you look at the Gospels, like you were talking about just a minute ago, and you find out that when Christ got in trouble, and I say that just purely and purely, what's the words I'm looking for, in just a human perspective, it was the religious men that turned the quote unquote government against him. They were the ones who led the charge in getting him executed. And, all that stuff is so clear and so plain if we would just read the scriptures for ourselves. But again, most people, Sam, all they want to do is let someone else tell them what it says instead of getting in there and mining that for themselves and getting those answers for themselves. I'm just telling you, if people will get in there and do the searching for themselves, they're going to come to the same conclusions, because it's not hard. It's easy to see once you can get away from the perspective of futurism and from church and the churchmen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's so plain to see. In fact, that was one of the things that came forth, and that's why I always keep saying that if properly taught, teaching the Word of God is the greatest liberator any one man could ever have. But see, the churches, most of the churches are not teaching it properly. They're teaching churchianity instead of true Christianity, and therein lies the problem, and that's what's hurting us, Charlie, as far as getting the message out, because there's so many lies and deceptions floating around, where in reality people need to quit paying attention to what the pastors say. And I even say, don't even believe us. Go and look into the scriptures yourself. Go and read the accounts in the Gospels, and like, for example, in the issue of as we've been talking about a lot with Matthew 24 and what he was talking to the disciples. I mean, there's no way. I don't know how you can ever. And I'm still running into this even with friends of mine now. I don't know how you can ever equate that the end times are still in the future, when it's clear that Christ was talking to his disciples when he said, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until all these things be fulfilled.
Well, yeah, that's, that's a verse of scripture that I quote almost every week, if not, every other week. The words are just so plain and so clear. But sadly, Sam, when men and women have been taught something all their life, this is a stupid example, but it's true. If I would have taught my children from as soon as they could understand words, if I would have taught them that a horse was a cow and a cow was a horse, and taught them that all their life, well, by the time they were older, it would be very difficult to get them to understand that a cow is a cow and a horse is a horse. And that's where we're at. These people have been indoctrinated with this lie of futurism from almost the moment they've been born. They've been indoctrinated with it. They've been hit with it over and over and over. And I'm telling you, I will take the scriptures and sit down with somebody and open it up and say, okay, what, would you just read this verse of Scripture? And they'll read it, and I'll hear exactly what it says. You know, for instance, and I've talked about this one a lot in my messages, but Hebrews 9:26, I've talked about this one a lot. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone read that and then look at me and say, so, what is it that you're trying to get me to see? And that verse of Scripture says, as plainly as it can be said, that Christ died, Christ gave himself as a sacrifice in the end of the world, is what that verse says. So I say to people, okay, if you do not believe that the end of the world has taken place, then you cannot believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Because this scripture says that in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Well, then you can, if you can at least get them to question that, then you can then begin to say, well, look, the reason that this is, that people have so much trouble with this is because they don't understand that the phrase, the end of the world, in the times when it's used in the Gospels and in what we call the New Testament, that is referring to the end of the Old Covenant age. And even the word world there in the Greek is aeon, which means age. But Sam, they're not taught that in the churches. They aren't taught it in the churches, but that is the reality of what it is.
Well, unfortunately, this being a pre-recorded show, we can't take calls right now. But let me ask you this, Charlie. Why don't you tell people, if you've piqued some interest in some people, how would you urge somebody who maybe has not taken the time to learn this stuff, and for that matter, has not even taken the time to study the scriptures, and probably they don't know what some of the words mean in the language that was spoken in that time. How would you help somebody bridge that gap? You know, because you know, today we have the language is somewhat different than the way it was spoken in the in the original scriptures. Certainly, I mean, the original scriptures go all the way back to Hebrew, but you know, even in the early translations, you know, like in the original King James and even in the Geneva, things were certainly spoken a lot differently, so that people don't get overwhelmed with the difference in the language and stuff back then. How do you propose people work their way through that?
All right, here's what I suggest. And I'm not saying this because this is a book that I wrote. Not saying it at all, okay? But
right.
If you go to my website, www.godsendusmen.com, you can click on the link called Books. The very first book that I have mentioned on there is called The Religion of the New World Order. You can download it for free. I don't sell any of my materials. It's all there freely available. Download it, and then open your Bible. Get yourself a Strong's Concordance, which is a dictionary of the Hebrew and the Greek from the Scriptures. Lay them side by side and look at all these verses of Scripture that I lay out. Okay, I lay it all out. I show you how you can find these definitions in the Greek dictionary, and look at the verses of Scripture that I'm presenting. And just follow it. I think the book is, it might be 76 pages long. I think someone could read it in two and a half hours.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then when you begin to see some of these very, very basic things that I'm showing, all right, if you really want to get into it, then go to the audio page on my website, and I start out with the very, very basic teaching of Matthew chapter 24, and then I go on for about 54 weeks, I think, in there. And I mean 54 weeks, so they're an hour at a time, but 54 messages where I go through and go into much, much greater detail than what I go through in those 76 pages of my book. But I'm telling you that once you see, once you understand that not one single word of that book was written to us, but every word was written for us, then once you understand that and you start reading the scripture in its proper perspective of time and who it was written to, then all of a sudden things are going to start jumping off the pages. And Sam, I've seen it over and over and over where people were devout futurists, but searching for truth. And they've seen these verses of scripture, they've seen these passages, and then sometimes in a very, very short period of time, I hear back from them telling me that they absolutely see fulfilled Bible prophecy on virtually every page that they open up from the scripture. And when your light comes on, I mean to tell you, it comes on.
Absolutely. I want people to understand, too, Charlie, you're not a newcomer to this. You've been at this for years. And you were in the Baptist church, much like I was. You were the typical church-going kid at one time when you were growing up. And just to recap for everybody, what made you start questioning what you were getting in the church?
I was in the ministry on the staff of two very large Baptist churches. One while I was actually in Baptist college, and then one after I left Baptist college. And the second Baptist church that I was working at, I was on the staff as the youth director and the music director there. And I was 21 years old, and when I was in the ministry on the staff, I thought I was absolutely 100% in the will of God. I thought I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing by being a minister in this so-called quote-unquote church, and I was on top of my own world. It was what I had wanted to do since I was a little kid. I'd wanted to be a preacher. I'd wanted to work in a church ministry. Well, getting behind the scenes and seeing the nuts and bolts of the operation, Sam, I just have to tell you that I was pretty disturbed at the things that I saw. It basically was a business and was operated as a business. And was in many ways just as unethical in some of their methods as any worldly business might have been. I was told as a young preacher boy that sometimes you have to, quote, lie to protect the ministry. That was a direct quote of things that I was told. I saw that in operation. And Sam, I'm going to make the statement. This is not something that's hidden. I've made this statement before. I've actually seen in these ministries where people were actually killed because they opposed the ministry of that particular church. And so I got very dismayed at what I saw, because to me, it was ministry, and I took it very, very seriously. And I believed in truth. I believed in telling the truth. I believed in treating people according to the scripture, and yet I saw the nuts and bolts of the operation that's not really the way that it functioned. So I began to ask questions and began to become a nuisance, because in those places you basically shut up and do what you're told, just like every other aspect of life. Well, make a long story short, I found myself booted out on the street, and I went from being absolutely on top of the world, of my own world, of what I thought I was supposed to be doing, to being at the very bottom of the world, for lack of a better word. And so I actually had this particular church, quote unquote, had a goon, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm telling the absolute truth. They had a goon that busted the door down on my apartment, took all of my belongings away from me, and when I returned to where I was living and saw that everything that I had was gone, the only thing that I had to my name at that in that instance, they for some reason had left a lamp, and I had my Bible and the clothes on my back. And so I sat there in that apartment, and I was crushed. I was destroyed at what had happened to me. And I opened my Bible, and I found myself in Matthew chapter 16. And as I began to read Matthew chapter 16, I just began to pour out myself before God and said, you know, you've got to make yourself real to me, because what I had seen, what I thought that I knew was truth, had been totally ripped out from beneath me. And I just pleaded with God to make himself real to me. And so I kept reading and I kept reading, and I finally got down to verse 24 of Matthew chapter 16. And this is where Christ said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," and for the first time in my life, and Sam, I had read that passage of scripture hundreds, if not thousands of times before, even though I was only 21. But if you remember from my testimony, Sam, I've told you many, many times that from the age of 5 on, I was the little kid that was sitting on the front row of the church every time the doors were open, and I was sitting there taking notes, actually taking notes of the messages. I was very, very serious about my walk with Christ and all of that. And so I had read that passage of scripture hundreds, if not thousands of times before. But this one time, as I was reading, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," somehow, some way, I found myself sitting actually in their shoes, as if I was reading this from, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I kept reading. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And I was in that point right then, Sam, where I had lost everything that I had in life at that point. Then I kept reading, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then I got to this verse here: "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And Sam, it was as if that he had taken a 2x4 and smacked me upside the head and said, "Look, this everything that has happened to you, everything in your life from early on until right now has happened so that you would understand this verse of scripture." Excuse me. And at that evening was the first time that I understood exactly what he was saying, that he was telling his disciples over 2,000 years ago in the first century that some of them would not die until they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So then I continued on with Matthew 17, 18, 19, 20, and I got to 24. And by the time I was finished with 24, 34, my world had been totally turned right side back up again. Because
wow,
then
yeah.
Understood scripture like I had never understood it before. And that was some 36 years ago when that happened. And I've been preaching fulfilled Bible prophecy relentlessly ever since that evening until now.
You know, so it's fascinating.
That's how I came to it.
Well, see, it's fascinating about this, too, is that at that time, you and I had not talked, okay? When I started discovering some of this as well, you just finished it when you came along and we started talking. You pointed out other stuff, but I was actually starting down the same road. Because I'll tell you what, at one time, I was such a futurist that I actually called in. This was back in the, I believe it was in the 90s. We were living up in Kansas City at the time. I called in on Alex Jones' show. He had what's his name, John Anderson, on, who he was a preterist, and And I don't like normally using labels, but there's a lot of people that would identify. I don't choose to identify this message as a preterist message, but some will. It doesn't matter what. But at the time, I wasn't where we are now, and so I went toe to toe with John Anderson. John Anderson was one of the worst ones at teaching this message because he couldn't. He got all temperamental and couldn't. He let his anger get the better of him when I confronted him on some of this stuff. When in reality, he should have taken the time to lovingly show me in the scriptures where I was in error. And so for a while, I just blew off the whole thing. And then I start running into articles when I go into some Christian websites from Gary DeMar, and, you know, who's in that same camp, and started reading some of his stuff, but I still wasn't quite totally convinced. But I knew I was going. I knew there was something missing. I knew there was something that didn't make sense. And then you pointed out Matthew 24. And after the first time you and I had talked, well, you and I had actually talked on an unrelated subject years before, and that was the alternative power video that you had produced, which is still around, by the way. They can still get that if they want it, can't they, Charlie? Just a side note.
Yeah,
they can still get that. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother issue for another day. And Charlie can give you that information when we get done here. But I don't want to deviate too far from our topic here. And then because of things, nothing particular, Charlie and I didn't have a falling out or nothing. He just had stuff going on. I had stuff going on, and we didn't talk for a while. Then here, what was it, a little over a year ago now, I guess? Was that when you and I reconnected, I think?
More than that, about a year and a half.
Yeah. And that's when I discovered that you were... Where I was going, you were already there. In my study of the scriptures, and you pointed out Matthew 24, and I remember after we got done, I kind of believed you, but I was still skeptical. So I went over and I grabbed my audio Bible and I went through and I read Matthew 24 and that's when I said, wow, he's absolutely right. And then that's when it finished it for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we touched on it all the way back in 2007, but because I went back and listened to our some of our very early interviews, and it was my message was not very well received.
Not then.
By the Britons back then.
No.
And so then when when we reconnected and you began to tell me where you were at, I mean, obviously I was very excited. And but that's how it works sometimes, Sam. I think I've told you this before. I had a man come into my home. And now, if I go into your home, if you invite me into your home, and you begin telling me what you believe, and if I don't agree with you, I'm not going to fight you in your own home. Now, if you ask me for an opinion, I'm going to give you an opinion, but I'm certainly not going to fight you in your own home. That would never happen.
That's right.
But I had a man come into my home. And all my children were sitting around at the table, and he started in on all of his rapture stuff and second coming stuff, and I had to stop him. And I mean, it wasn't a big fight, it wasn't an argument or anything like that, but I did have to stop him, and I began to present fulfilled Bible prophecy to him. And he looked at me like I was absolutely speaking Chinese to him. I mean, I could tell it was going in one ear and out the other, and he had absolutely no understanding whatsoever of what I was saying. So anyway, after a little while, we ended the conversation, and he went on his way. And almost a year to the day, I got a phone call. And his voice, as soon as he started talking, his voice was very familiar. I knew who it was. And he said, Charlie, he said, do you remember a conversation we had when I was at your house? And I said, absolutely, I do. And he says, well, I'm calling to tell you today that I got it. He says, I finally understood what it was that you were saying. And from that day till this, he is absolutely fulfilled Bible prophecy. And that's how it happens sometimes, because, you know, just like Paul said, one man watereth, or another one man planteth, another one watereth, and it's God who giveth the increase. And that's the way it happens. So I don't know what happened, you know, between the time you and I first talked until the time where you, you know, began to understand fulfilled Bible prophecy, but it just happens that way sometimes.
Yeah, well, Trish and I spent a lot of time just talking back and forth amongst ourselves, and it didn't make sense to her either. And, you know, the way the churches were teaching it, and the way the churches taught it put her in total turmoil, you know. And once she started getting exposed to fulfilled Bible prophecy, it really turned her around too. So it's not just me, it turned her around. And I just want to say that the reason that this is so vitally important is because this is the reason. This is the reason that the churches are so dysfunctional and why our world is so dysfunctional today, because everybody's too busy believing that all this stuff applies to strictly the future and not now.
That's absolutely correct, Sam. You don't polish the brass on a sinking ship. You know, you don't rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. And, you know, whether people think that they believe that or not, they absolutely do. They absolutely do. That's why there's total complacency in every sphere of life in America, and not just in America. Well, now let's just limit it to America, because that's all I have firsthand knowledge of.
Me too. Yeah.
But that is the origins of complacency, and the enemy knew exactly what it was doing. If I can make my the goal, the object of my conquest, if I can make them complacent, then I've got them. And that's exactly what they did.
Absolutely. And here again, a good Bible teacher is not going to tell you to believe this stuff just because he's saying it. We challenge you to go look in the scriptures themselves. And Charlie, I know we talked about Matthew 24. Give our audience some other places they can investigate.
Well, you know, another verse of scripture that I quote often is Luke chapter 21 and verse 22.
Right.
Where Christ is speaking, and he says, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Well, how much clearer does he have to be?
Yeah.
You know, but yet, you know, people will look at those verses of scripture and say, "Oh, that's he's talking about, you know, thousands of years in the future." Well, that's incredible. He says to his disciples in the same chapter, "So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." I mean, I don't know how he can say this any clearer. You know, we one of the passages of scripture that, you know, the church and the churchmen will talk about a lot is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the writer, which is Paul, and Silvanus and Timotheus, it says, unto the ecclesia of the Thessalonians. So it is as clear as can be who wrote the book, who he wrote it to, and when it was written. This was all written in the first century. And so he tells them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Now watch this. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So you look at that and you say, how can you sit there and tell me that he's telling these people that they're that the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, as was described in Matthew chapter 16, was thousands of years later, when right here in the same century, he's telling those people to wait for his Son from heaven. Get to First Thessalonians, to go to the second chapter. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? I mean, that's, again, how much clearer can he be? I mean, it's just incredible. Then go on to that famous chapter, chapter 4. And this is what the church people call the rapture chapter. And you get to verse 14, for instance. And this is where, well, look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, that's Paul and the ones that he was writing to in the first century, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. That's Paul and the people that he was writing to in the first century. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, that's Paul and the people he was writing to in the first century, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, either these people in the first century saw the coming of Christ in the clouds, or they were lied to, Sam. You can't have it both ways.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. A lot of people always like to use Daniel and Ezekiel as a in their minds as a future, as a proof of futurism. And I, you know, there again, you have to go back to when was it written, and who was being talked to at the time. And here's the thing that you need to understand. This is why I think your book, Religion of the New World Order, is so appropriately titled, and that is, if you're always looking to a kingdom in the future, you're either worshiping God now or you're worshiping government. Well, governments don't like to have anybody in competition. And so it would be in their best interest to infiltrate the seminaries and the churches, much like Adolf Hitler did when he was in a position of power in Nazi Germany, because that's the first place they always go. Tyrants always go to the churches and infiltrate the churches because they know that the people, they know that the people, they can reach the people in a different way through their faith than any other way. And so the churches are what they always go after. So if nothing else, you need to understand that if you are a person who believes in Yahweh, in Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, you either believe in them or you believe in government. Well, of course, some of these futurists will say, well, they'll say Jesus Christ usually. But they will say that they believe. Well, the problem is that it's one thing to believe, but it's another thing to make your life
in the here and now
following in the footsteps of Yahweh. In other words, If you're always looking to the future, how can you be following in the footsteps in the here and now? You can't. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. And I know I'm trying to be as exact as I possibly can, but I don't want to go over everybody's head, you know, because I know we're beating on people really hard with some stuff that some are probably not used to. But you either worship government or you worship Yahweh. I mean, there's no in between. And so government is going to do everything it can to discourage you from going that way, because he who believes in a higher power, in the case of Yahweh, in the case of Yeshua, which is his real name, he who believes in Yeshua the Christ or in Yahweh, does not look to government as the highest of the powers, and therein lies the rub, I think, Charlie, that most people don't stop to think about. You're already, if you believe in a futurist argument, you're already looking to government for everything as opposed to looking to God to help you solve all your problems, because you're not looking in the here and now. You're always looking to the future, when in reality you should be looking in the here and now. And this is what's crippled the church, as far as the people in the churches, in so many different ways, from applying themselves in the here and now. And I actually had, and I'll tell this, I've told you this story, Charlie, but I'll tell it for our audience here again. I actually had a couple back when we attended a Baptist church up in Gladstone, Missouri, had a lady that was over helping us with some stuff at our house, and she said, when I start talking about some of this stuff, she said, well, I don't have to worry about any of this stuff because I'm going to be taken up and raptured out of here, so I don't have to worry about all this stuff that's going on in the world. She was so busy looking to the future that she was no earthly good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sam, on the back cover of my book, The Religion of the New World Order, There is a quote from Cornwallis, and I have left this on the back cover because I have a lot of evidence that this statement was actually said. Now, remember, I wrote that book, the first writing was back in, I believe it was 1987 or so. So I didn't have the internet. I didn't have, you know, a lot of great resources for, you know, finding evidence or whatever. But there was supposedly a book written by Jonathan Williams back in 1781, and it's called Legions of Satan. And I just did an internet search just a few minutes ago to see if I could find the actual book. And I actually think I may have found it now. But I am finding the quote that I put on the back of my book, The Religion of the New World Order, back in 1987 or whenever it was, that substantiates that this statement was made. Let me read this to you real quick.
Okay.
This is Jonathan Williams recorded in his Legions of Satan, 1781, that General Cornwallis revealed to General Washington during the signing of the Article of Capitulation signed by Cornwallis at Yorktown that, quote, "A holy war will now begin on America, and when it is ended, America will be supposedly the citadel of freedom, but her millions will unknowingly be loyal subjects of the crown. Your churches will be used to teach the Jews religion, and in less than 200 years, the whole nation will be working for divine world government. That government that they believe to be divine will be the British Empire. All religions will be permeated with Judaism without even being noticed by the masses, and they will all be under the invisible, all-seeing eye of the grand architect of Freemasonry," end quote. Now, that, you know, like I said, I put that on the back cover of my book back in the 1980s, and I talk to people all the time, Sam, who you know, would say, oh, I don't believe the Jews' religion, blah, blah, blah. Well, futurism is absolutely the Jews' religion. They believe in a future temple. They believe in a future Messiah. It's all futurism. That's why they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they're still looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a Messiah that will rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And the reality is that all these quote-unquote churches that preach futurism are preaching the Jews' religion.
Yeah.
And they don't even know it. You know, in my messages on Matthew chapter 24, excuse me, I play an excerpt from a Jewish rabbi named Tobias Singer, and his arguments were why Jesus was not the Messiah. And he specifically talks about Ezekiel chapter 37, and he specifically talks about the book of Daniel. So I took the excerpts of what he said, I played them in my message, then I took the Bible, and I went through the whole chapter of Ezekiel chapter 37, and I showed how Yeshua fulfilled every single one of those prophecies in Ezekiel chapter 37. I went through the book of Daniel, and I played Singer's arguments against Jesus fulfilling the book of Daniel. And then I went to the New Testament, and I showed right from the New Testament how Jesus specifically fulfilled the prophecies of the book of Daniel. And so, and I do this, Sam, not just with Jews. I do it with church people, because church people say to me, oh, well, you know, Ezekiel chapter 37 has never been fulfilled. The book of Daniel has never been fulfilled. And I'm like, you're sitting here preaching to me the Jews' religion, and you don't even know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, Charlie, there's a guy, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but he's even gotten the ire of Chuck Baldwin. So you know how far gone it is when that happens. But there's a guy who a lot of conservatives look up to by the name of Ben Shapiro. He's Jewish. And he was actually quoted in an interview talking about how he was trying to make the statement that Christ was really nothing more than a philosopher of the day. In other words, he was downplaying Christ's role on the cross. And there's a lot of people out here in today's phony conservatism that are embracing this guy. And these are people who claim to be Christians. This is how far gone it's getting. Even Chuck Baldwin exposed that. Now, Chuck Baldwin isn't quite where we are. I still predict that one of these days he's going to come around. He's got to come around because he's so close. I mean, he's got so much of it right, but he still can't let go of that futurism that he picked up in the Baptist church.
Yeah, I've got hope for Chuck Baldwin. Absolutely, I've got hope for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes when we see things so clearly, we just think, okay, if I can just, you know, get them to see this or get them to see that, then their light is going to come on. Sometimes it just takes time.
Yeah,
and
it does. Yeah.
I'm glad that the end of the world's not coming, that there is no rapture, because it gives us some time to reach these people.
Yeah.
But what we don't want to do, though, is fall into the same trap, because there is urgency to the fact that we get people to see the truth. And to come out of the deception of futurism, because every day that futurism is in the forefront is another day that we've lost freedom. It's another day that our generation has been lost.
Yeah.
And so there is absolutely urgency, even though the end of the world is not coming. You know, the rapture is not coming, but there still is extreme urgency that we constantly are trying to lead people into what the truth really is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And one of the things I want to point out here, because I know I told you every time we do this, Charlie, you know I enjoy doing this when I keep you on. I'm gonna forget trying to tell our audience how long you're gonna be with me. because every time we do this, we get into some good stuff. And I just think it's fascinating. I mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm glad you hung around. I mean, because when we originally talked about doing this, I said, you'd be around about 5-10 minutes. Oh, come on. I knew better than that. But, you know, so, I mean, but the point I want to make out of all of this is that this is all the more reason you need to know why you believe and what you believe in the time of so much deceit that's going on out there. Because even as it stands right now, these churches, these things we call churches out there, are falling further and further away. And one of the things that I want to nip in the bud here before I move on with the rest of the show here is this. And that is, Charlie, there's a lot of people out there who say, well, things seem to be going exactly the way that Bible prophecy says. Well, I will take a crack at that first and simply say that, did you ever stop to think about the fact that a lot of these people that are out there taking us down the road to hell the way we're going know the Bible better than a lot of those of us that are Christian? I still contend, Charlie, that what we are actually witnessing today is playing out of the Bible as a handbook instead of what most people think.
There's no question about it. That's exactly what they're doing. We're not dealing with people who, you know, are standing on the street corner begging. Cecil Rhodes and Andrew Carnegie were two of the wealthiest men alive during their day, and they devoted their entire fortunes to bringing about, you know, and I said in my message last week, I've said it before, go on the internet and just type in Last Will and Testament of Cecil Rhodes, and you can read for yourself everything that he left his fortunes to accomplish. And it's all there. He didn't hide it. And it's not conspiracy theory. It's right there in plain sight. And that's why he established the Rhodes Scholarship Program. And Rhodes Scholars have been people that are the movers and shakers in the world, the ones that have created policy that move entire countries in one direction or another. And it's all for the purpose and the agenda that Cecil Rhodes and Andrew Carnegie had. And you can see it for yourself what the agenda was. These people have the ability to act out things on a world stage because they've got unbelievable vast amounts of, I'm not going to call it money, but they've got spending power. And they've got militaries. They've got these things under control, and causing the masses to believe in futurism is simply a matter of well, what they did. And, you know, they predicted, for instance, Israel becoming a state in 1948. Started all the way back, at least, I mean, I'm sure it was farther back than 1914, but in 1914 they set the thing up on the world stage with the Balfour Declaration. And then you had C.I. Schofield telling all of the religious people that it's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy for Israel to once again become a nation. So then they set that in motion, and they get that to come to pass in 1948. Then you got all the churches and the churchmen telling people, oh, look, this is all the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And then yep. From there, it's just one thing after another. They're playing all this stuff out on a world stage. And when they're convincing people that it's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, then that's how they've created absolute complacency, where people won't lift a finger to bring about any change whatsoever. Because, hey, this everything that's going on around us today is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Yep.
And if it's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, then to resist it would be to resist God himself.
Yep.
That's exactly what they wanted to do, and that's exactly what they've done.
And this is what governments who go tyrannical do all the time. The first place they go after is the churches, because they know they can get to people in a way that they can't otherwise do it. What a better way than to come in and pose as somebody that they're not. They infiltrate the seminaries, and then the preachers graduate out of the seminaries, and then this is how this stuff gets filtered down through the churches across, certainly here across the United States and the world, but again, like Charlie, I'll refer to the United States because this is where we're sitting. But how do you think these people come up with this stuff out of the seminaries? I mean, this is why I always refer to the seminaries as cemeteries, because they take anything that is right and they bury it and twist it and destroy it and kill it. And so that's why I call them cemeteries, because that's really what they are. That's how it filtrates down into the pulpits of the churches, and then we wind up with what we got now. So just a lot of stuff that I hope we've given you something to think about is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of stuff here. I know we've wandered down a lot of roads here. And you know, Charlie, I just let this go. I just let it go as long as we were talking, because, you know, sometimes you can have one idea, and then sometimes there are other things that God can have planned for what you're doing as well. And this is a message that continually needs to get out, because we're in big trouble. This is why we're overrun with everything from transgenders to homosexuals to you name it. You know, and the churches, the people of the Christians look the other way when we have things like drag queens in libraries across America and in churches and even in churches now and in schools now, where we're subjecting children to cross-dressing men and vice versa. And you don't hear hardly a whimper, other than just a little bit of grumbling and complaining from the Christians out there, or the ones who profess to be Christians. But nothing really changes. It keeps going on, and then this stuff infiltrates all the way through society. And this is why now we're having such a rough time trying to derail this futurism. So.
Yeah, well, if you go online or whatever and you read an article, for instance, I talked about this in one of my messages a couple months ago. Dave Dobenmeyer had gone on and wrote an article, and he was all upset about the Boy Scouts and their agenda for accepting sodomites as scout leaders and things like that. And he wrote and has said how bad it was, blah, 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 just was on a tirade. And then the comments, the people that write in, very first comment was, well, Dave, you know, I appreciate your spunk, but what you don't realize is that, you know, the Bible says that this is how things are going to be. And so, you know, even though, you know, I appreciate, you know, your spunk and you're preaching out against it, better off to do nothing, because the Bible says this is all going to happen. And so, you know, might as well accept it.
Yep.
And I see that over and over and over again, Sam. And that's exactly what's going on.
Yep. Absolutely. It's, I hope we've made this very, very plain during this discussion. And I know, as I've continued to go down this road, more and more stuff makes sense to me. But this is not the time to shut up and sit down. This is the time to get involved. And I hope someday that Dave Dobenmeyer will come around and understand what you and I have both been talking about, because, you know, like so many others, I'm sure he's a byproduct of futurism himself.
Absolutely. He absolutely is. And I reached out to him and, you know, tried to share some things with him. And he responded in an email by giving me a thumbs up. And so I wrote back to him and I said, now, wait a minute. What is this thumbs up? Are you agreeing that futurism is deception, that we need to speak out against futurism? And of course, then I never heard back from him again. So, you know, hopefully, you know, it'll be where, you know, a seed was planted and someone else is going to come along and water, And then, you know, God's going to give the increase. So we'll just wait and see. But I continue every time I see something like that. I send an email. I reach out. I send emails to Chuck Baldwin.
Yep.
Ted sends emails to Chuck Baldwin. And, you know, we'll just see where it leads.
Yeah.
So.
Well, for those who are listening
like
tonight.
Said, Sam,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, like I've said in the past, you know, I don't believe that all these churchmen are evil, wicked people. I don't believe that. I don't believe Chuck Baldwin is an evil, you know, part of the elite. I don't believe that at all. I just believe he's simply, got some things from the scripture that he needs to figure out.
Yeah.
And once he does, you know, great things could happen. So I don't believe Dave Dobenmeyer, is somebody that's working for the elite. But I will tell you this, these guys that go to the White House and claim to be the representatives of the evangelicals, I absolutely believe that these guys are the wolves in sheep's clothing that should be exposed. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
But you know, the guy that preaches on the weekends and works a 9-to-5 job during the week, and a lot of times, you know, pays for things in his quote ministry out of his own pocket, I don't think that he's an evil, terrible, bad guy. I just think he's just, you know, misguided and needs to come to some truth.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, I continually try to hold out hope for all these guys.
Absolutely. So. Well, Charlie, I want to let everybody know that you can be heard right after me, after we get done here, after this show is done, rather. You're heard after me, and also you're heard in the mornings. You're heard at 10 a.m. On Sunday mornings, and you're also heard at 9 p.m. Sunday nights. This is all Central Time, so do the math for your time zone. And so if you like what you're hearing here, you can hear it every Sunday here. And you can also go to Charlie's website, GodSendUsMen.com. And you can go over there and download all the stuff that he's produced and even stuff before he even came along over here on Missouri Liberty Radio. And you have several books there. You have Religion of the New World Order. Let's talk about some of the other ones people can get their hands on.
There's another book called They All Call Him King. And that one was written because after I wrote The Religion of the New World Order, then I started just getting flooded with letters from people saying, okay, I understand what you're saying. Now what does it mean? What is the conclusion? What do we do as a result of it? So then I wrote the book called They All Call Him King. And in that book is where I give some practical things that we need to be doing and implementing in our lives. And so that's what that book is. Then I've got a commentary on Romans 12 and 13 that's on there. I've got several other articles and papers that are written, with this basically the same central theme of, so what are the implications of fulfilled Bible prophecy? I've got something that struck a chord with you years ago, Sam. I don't know necessarily. I think I might have been the first one to show you this. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. But I've got a speech from Patrick Henry that's on my website, where Patrick Henry was vehemently opposed to the United States Constitution. And I think that is a very, very relevant read that people need to see even today. And particularly for those who are people who advocate for guns for protection, and not just from the criminal, but because what Patrick Henry had to say that the U.S. Constitution was going to take the guns away from the people. And there are things that he said in that document that he might as well have said it today. And so that's on there. Would you believe one of the most downloaded documents that I have on my website is a message called "Is It Okay for Christians to Gamble?" That's on my website. And that, believe it or not, that gets as many downloads as anything, excuse me, as anything else on that website. And so anyway, I've also got Roger Sherman's A Caveat Against Injustice, or An Inquiry into the Evils of a Fluctuating Medium of Exchange. That one is hugely interesting. Have you ever read that, Sam?
No, no, I haven't, but it's one I need to look into. I didn't know about that one.
Oh, man. Do you know who Roger Sherman was?
No.
Well, Roger Sherman was the only man to sign I believe I have it in this order, the Articles of Confederation, the Declaration of Independence, and the U.S. Constitution. And he said in his book that the biggest reason why that they needed the U.S. Constitution was because the Articles of Confederation did not eliminate paper money. And he said that paper money was the cause of all the ills, I-L-L-S, that were taking place during his day. And so he wanted the U.S. Constitution to come into place for the sole purpose of eliminating paper money. And I mean to tell you, I mean, you should read that, Sam. It is excellent. Let me just make sure that is... Yeah, this should be. You should be able to use your reader,
okay,
and and read this. But this thing is fantastic. I mean, it's really good, and will let people understand why it's so important that we have gold and silver in our as our currency. Of course, you know, they eliminated that a long time ago, even though, you know, their constitution still says to this day, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. That's still on the books. That's still in the, quote, constitution. But yet, you know, nobody pays any attention to it whatsoever. So anyway, that's on there. And there's several other things on there. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting reading there, Sam.
So. Absolutely. Well, Charlie, is there anything you want to leave with our audience here as we come down to the end of the interview here? I mean, I enjoyed having you, though. It's been fun. But what do you want to leave people with, particularly?
Well, I just would encourage people to continue listening to the messages on Missouri Liberty Radio. You know, not just mine, but Ted's messages that come on before mine. Ted says a lot of the same things that I say, and it just gives reinforcement. He comes at the same goal sometimes in a little bit different direction. I'm still using scripture to do it, but gives a different perspective, and it's just excellent, really excellent. I just would encourage people to listen to the messages, go to the website, listen to the archives if you can't listen live on Missouri Liberty Radio, and encourage others to listen as well. So, you know, we can turn this thing around very quickly, Sam, but it's going to start with changing people's minds on this deception of futurism.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's been particularly fun about all of this is we've, on this broadcast tonight, we've gone down some roads that we have not gone down in previous broadcasts. This New World Order thing, I hope people start to understand that how futurism ties into this whole issue of the New World Order. That's what I hope, Charlie, because I think we've dealt with this to some extent, but not as much as we have now.
Right. That's great, because, you know, like I said, you know, like with your audience, Sam, the off the cuff audience, I wouldn't particularly classify that broadcast as a quote unquote religious broadcast. But you're dealing with people that are very educated, they're not just out there with their head in the sand, and they may not understand that the answers, the solutions that we have for the problems that face us are in the scriptures. And because a lot of times people that are smart, like your listeners, I could sit here and name some names of some guys that I think that are out there in a battle and are fighting and are trying to fight for freedom and things of that nature. But what they've done is they've looked at the quote unquote church, and they've looked at the churchmen, and they say, now, wait a minute, you guys aren't in the fight. And in fact, in many ways, you are on the opposition. And then they look at that and they say, well, if you people are the voice of God, then what do I want that for? And I get it, Sam. I absolutely get that that is a huge problem.
Well, this goes back to why I've said what I've said on this show many, many times. This is why you got to be careful with this futurism from another standpoint. The church itself is going to be what will cause a massive falling away from the Christian faith. I hear so many people in Christianity blaming the secularists, the schools, and they are to blame. I mean, they also play a role. The schools, government, our media, they're all part of the problem, but the church doesn't want to accept responsibility. Too many Christians don't want to accept responsibility that they, too, are part of the problem for preaching these prophecies that never come to pass. And as I've stated many, many times, and we've talked about this on the show, I remember, I'll tell you exactly how I started going down this road. There was a time when I was doing the show, I wouldn't even touch this stuff. Okay? I wouldn't touch this at all. But as time went along, you know, I started telling my audience, you know, it's becoming increasingly hard to do this kind of a show and dealing with the news stories that I deal with on a weekly basis and not start entering in to what the scriptures have to say. And that led me to where I am now. And now, I mean, it's almost hard to believe that I didn't go down this road earlier than I did. But the point I'm making is that every time you push this futurist philosophy, you can't blame somebody. I know if it were me, and I were a baby Christian, and I mean, I consider myself a baby Christian compared to somebody like yourself that's been it even longer than I have. But having said that, if I were not even as far along as I am now, and I didn't know half the stuff that I know now, thanks to our conversations, Charlie, it would be real easy for me to say, well, if they've gotten all that wrong, why wouldn't the rest of the Bible be wrong?
And that's true, and that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
is that when educated people look at the church and the churchmen, and they see that they're on the wrong side of virtually every common sense issue, then they look at that and say exactly what you said. If they're wrong about that, then they're wrong about everything. What do I need them for?
Yeah,
that's true. That is absolutely true.
Yep, and that's so, and that's so.
That's,
so.
That's why my ministry is devoted to trying to tear down the lie of futurism and to tear down the lie of church. And the reality is, Sam, and I'm sure that you agree now because you've been listening to these messages and you've seen the evidence that the English word church should not even be in our Bibles.
Right. Yeah. Well, and when you stop to think about the English word church, if you go by Brits have done with the Brits have had a state religion. Okay, we don't need a state religion. You know, that's where the Brits went down the wrong path long, 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 long time ago. In other words, whatever church the king and the queen attended, and all this kind of happy noise, that's what everybody had to believe, and that's very dangerous stuff when you go down that road. So. You know, so this is all the more reason that the idea of churches as we know them now needs to be dealt with and exposed for what it really is. And really, here in the United States, we have a state church. It's just not called that. What it's actually called is 501c3 tax-exempt status. And I actually read in some of the information, and I interviewed a lady years ago by the name of Barbara Cattay, who was defending churches, these churches against the IRS, and she was the one that was involved with the Indianapolis Baptist Temple when the supposed Christian John Ashcroft, who was then Attorney General, was presiding over the taking of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. And one of the things that when I was interviewing this lady, Barbara Cattay, she said that the IRS considers doctrine as being illegal. In other words, if you teach doctrine, you're going against the IRS code. Well, isn't anything that you teach, what is doctrine? I mean, doctrine is, it doesn't matter what it is you're teaching, it's a form of doctrine. You know, in other words, basically what the IRS is saying in so many words is that if you're going to be part of our family, so to speak, and I use that term sarcastically, then you can't teach the scriptures, is basically what they were saying. And this is the thing, this is why our churches are in the mess we're in today, because so many of them have bought into the 501c3 tax exempt status. They've traded their freedom for this tax exempt status just so they can get all kinds of money coming in through the doors. And so this is why they don't teach anything that's worth anything, because to do it goes against the IRS code.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the reality is that they really haven't traded anything. They are what they are.
Yeah.
That's what people need to understand. Church is an arm of man's government. Always has been, always will be. They're doing what they do. That's what they do, and they get paid for it. They get paid for keeping the deception of man's government going. And then that's what they do. That's what they are.
Yep, and stop to think about it. When you go to these things they call churches, what's being implied is that this is where you go to worship God, and the rest of the time, it's just whatever, okay? Well, it doesn't work that way. Before we had all these big mega churches and all this stuff we got going on today, there was a time where people just met in homes to worship and to pray and to learn the Word of God. They were home studies instead of these going into these things we call churches. Why do you think the government's so against that? I mean, so many towns now have zoning ordinances against that. They don't want you doing that. They want you to go to this special building. See, so
what do they call it when they're trying to control? They call free speech zones.
Yes.
So they've got free speech zones, and now they've got church zones.
Yeah, so. that's it.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah,
that's because they can control that.
Yeah,
they can control those zones.
Yeah.
So
that's it. Hey, Charlie, thank you. This has been great. We went down some roads I didn't think we were going to go down, but this is why I always enjoy having you on, and we'll do some more of this. In fact, I want to do it when we're on live again so we can take some calls and stuff. It's good. It's all good stuff. And I learn something new every day, and I urge everybody to go over to your website and go to GodSendUsMen.com. And Charlie's got everything he's done on this station and then some. And I think he's even got, you got some interviews that I've done with you before up there, some earlier stuff, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. So you can go and check all that out. And so, Charlie, thank you so much. And give our best to your wife and family. And we will be looking forward to keeping in touch, and we'll watch as this conference continues to take shape. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to be there.
Well, yeah, if you're going to speak, you're going to need to be there.
That's right. It's a little hard to do it if I'm there. So anyway, so yeah, it'll work out. I know it will, because if it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be. So we'll make it happen. So I'm not worried about that at all. Charlie, thanks a lot. And by the way, I just want to mention to you, too, people can say that this was a divine situation or whatever. I don't care, but I think there's something special about it. Do you know, Charlie, unlike times in the past, do you know during this interview, you did not break up here on Team Talk one single time. Not one.
Huh. Wow, that's pretty cool.
I mean, you've been consistent. You may as well have been sitting in the chair just to the left of me over here at the other desk. That's how clean it's been. So, you know, I've never had this good of a connection with you or anybody else on this before. So that's quite interesting. Again, GodSendUsMen.com. Thank you, Charlie, and be looking forward to more. And I'll maybe we'll do some stuff during the course of next month. Shortly here, you know, as we move into November, I'll try to bring you up for some more stuff. This is an interesting discussion, folks. Download this and review this stuff we've been talking about. Because, in fact, I may even go through and take this interview out of the show and make it a separate file. And if I can get that done, Charlie, I'll send it to you.
All right. Sounds good, Sam. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good evening.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay, man.
Good night.